Here's a story that I've entitled the message this morning, A Matter of Timing. Amen. You know, A Matter of Timing. And Esther, one of my favorite books in the Bible, and I love the story. I mean, it's just one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. And so I want to talk to you about that very subject, A Matter of Timing. Father, thank you so much for putting this church here. The impact that it has had in this community, so many souls saved, and so many lives changed, and so many decisions made, and God will only know in heaven what all took place, because people just made right choices, they made right decisions, and so many decisions made in the midst of trial and trouble and World War II, and God help us to be reminded that that's how often you work in the midst of trial, in the midst of affliction. Lord, you do some of your greatest works. And I pray we'd not get discouraged about the economy. We'd not be discouraged about massacres that don't make sense and the evil of mankind that we don't understand, Lord. But we would realize that you're our God and you can do anything and you can make good come out of bad all the time. And please bless the preaching, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know the story of Esther, wicked Haman has made a law, or he's convinced the king to okay and put his seal on a law to have all of the Jews killed. Haman, of course, absolutely despises Mordecai, who is a Jew, because Mordecai won't bow down to him. And Haman's pride kicks in, and so he has a law drawn up, and the king agrees to it to have all of the Jews killed. Queen Esther is a Jew, but that's unknown to Haman, and it's also unknown to the king. So Esther is a Jew, and now this law, and that's the passage that we just read, this law affects not only her elder cousin Mordecai, but it also affects her. And so her elder cousin, Mordecai, has been taking care of her because she's an orphan girl. And he has now asked her to go before the king. She's the queen. I mean, come on, queen, you ought to be able to go to the king. Well, the law of the Medes and Persians said that if anyone goes to the king, unless he's called for, yes, even the queen. Fellas, I don't know, don't get excited about that, all right? But anyway, if she goes to him and she has not been invited, unless he holds out the golden scepter, she dies, period. And now she's a little concerned about that, depending on his mood and everything. And so just a very, very real story that took place many, many years ago. And so now Esther is a Jew, and the law applies to her, just like it does her friends and family, and Mordecai, of course, her cousin. And then they ask her, Mordecai, representing all the Jews, ask her to go before the king. Well, another possibility where she could be executed by going before the king without a royal invitation. And then we come to verse 14, which is a very well-known passage of Scripture, the last part of it. And the question is asked by Mordecai, and I love this question. In fact, our theme for 2013 are the very words, for such a time as this. And Mordecai asks this question, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? It's just a matter of timing, that's all. What, Esther, why are you here? Do you understand, Esther, how you could make such a great impact here? I mean, you could change the course of every Jew's life and even non-Jews' lives here. Esther, you have an opportunity. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's just a matter of timing. Now, some folks would say, sure was lucky Esther happened to be there at that time. Sure was lucky that Esther was the queen. I mean, boy. Some person might say this. They might say, boy, we sure are lucky that Jesus was born. Same person might say, sure are lucky that Harold Bennett trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior so that this church could be started 70 years ago. Sure are lucky But you see, we know better than that. We know that God is behind timing. And by the way, God's timing is always perfect. Just out of curiosity, I want to know how many, first of all, how many are here and you are related to, either as an in-law, an outlaw, or whatever, to the Bennetts or the Pearsons? I want you to stand. Bennetts or Pearsons. Again, Harold Bennett and then the Pearsons. All right, go ahead and stand. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. All right, and again, you see, some of you are saying, "Wow, I didn't. How are they related?" And there are many like that. Now, let me ask this: how many of you were saved? You guys, stay up, stay up, stay up. Don't be shy. How many of you were saved as a result of Berean Baptist Church or our ministries here? You stand, join these. You were saved, either soul winning, altar call. Somebody knocked on your door, however it was, you were saved as a result of Berean Baptist Church. Now look around, all right? And you know, this is a lot of people. This is a huge amount of people, all right? You can be seated, thank you. And now, I mentioned last week, in the last 70 years, around 60,000 people have been saved as a result. Now that doesn't include our missions, all right? Our missions, that's going to add thousands and thousands more. But right here, Adrian, Michigan, and our soul winning, Lenawee County, the Fair Ministry, all of that, around 60,000 people have trusted Christ as their Savior. And it's all about God's timing. Now listen to this verse. It's a great verse. Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." A time. It's all about timing. That's all it is. There's a time to every purpose. There's a certain time that God sets aside. There's a season. And every purpose, okay, purpose that we have. We have a purpose of our job, for example, and we have an 8-hour period a day or 9 hours or whatever it may be. And we have a certain period of time, and our purpose then is to accomplish our job, to do whatever the job is we are hired to do. And in church, a Sunday school teacher, they have about 45 minutes or so to get across their, well, in some classes, their bacon and eggs and donuts and waffles and coffee and then, you know, the Word of God for about 5 minutes. No, but we have a certain amount of time to do what? To accomplish our purpose. We have just a set aside some time. Well, listen to me. We didn't just figure that out ourselves. God shows us that. There's a certain time that God has for every purpose under the heaven. And don't you think that if that's true for mankind, don't you think that's also true for Almighty God? God sets aside and He makes the timing happen so that His purpose is fulfilled. Don't think that just Berean Baptist Church or any other church for that matter is just, it just was circumstantial. No, listen to me. God is God. And God plans everything. And the Pearsons, the Bennetts, and all the relatives, and everyone else, and everyone that was saved, and all of that. Yet Chuck Pearson is clear in Oklahoma, Henrietta, Oklahoma, and Donna is here in Adrian, Michigan. But God, because God knows how to put everything together. You know, here's the thing, and here's the message this morning. We need to understand something. We need to let God do what God does. And we need to trust Him with all of that, because everything is about timing. And this passage of Scripture is one of the best passages, I think, that where God shows us His timing. And even though the word God is not even in the book of Esther, we see God's hand in the whole thing. And His timing is always perfect. And so we'll look at the Jews in Esther's day and how that they are saved from certain death at the hand of Haman. We'll also consider the birth of Jesus Christ, and we'll also talk a little bit about the start of Berean Baptist Church. You see, and those are all historical things. Understand, though, today is important. Because Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there's a time to every purpose. What will they say 70 years from now, if the Lord tarries? And if the Mayan calendar doesn't really matter. right? What will they say 50 years from now? What will they say 30 years from now? Will we have made an impact? Will you have made an impact? You could. I'll show you today, Harold and Bessie Bennett were just like you. They weren't any different than anybody in this room. Charles and Ruby Pearson weren't any different than anybody in this room. They were just like us. Will you make a difference? Do you understand? We're set aside a time. God has a purpose. God has a purpose. What will it be? What will it be? Obviously, for Esther, we see it. It's very clear. We read about it. Let me give you some things, and then we'll be done. Number one is the plan. The plan. And I wrote this down for the question, who knoweth? Who knoweth? I mean, really, honestly, is it chance? Is it just chance that these things take place? Is it just chance that Esther is the queen over the Medes and the Persians? I mean, is it just luck? Is it just, we sure are lucky. Is it just a matter of, the circumstances just worked out that way. The stars lined up just right. I mean, is it luck? Is it chance? Is it circumstance that makes all these happen? Or is there really one who knoweth? Is it just bad luck, the situation you're in today? Mark Letson sits here today with a pinched nerve in his neck. He's in a lot of pain, I'm sure. Either that or he's on drugs. So whichever one. I mean, he's been hurting bad. All right? Brittany Holland sits here this morning, and after last week of having we don't know what yet, possibly a stroke. Who knows? They don't know. And she can't see out of the right side, both of her eyes. Are you listening? I mean, is it just bad luck? I mean, we're just having a bad run here. You know, we have folks sitting here that your job is at risk right now. We have others that have some court meetings this week that are very crucial meetings. I mean, I'm just having a bad string of luck here. The circumstances just aren't going well for me. It's just bad. It's just a bad luck kind of a thing. Or is there really one who knoweth? I mean, you have to understand, Mordecai asks the question, who knoweth? Is there one that knows? Does anyone know? Well, I'm going to check out my horoscope. That'll tell me. No. Is there one that knows? You understand that Scripture teaches us that God has plans. God's plans go back before the foundation of the world. God's plans go back farther than this earth goes back. And according to the scientists, it's billions and billions of years, which is ridiculous. But anyway, God, listen to me. God, His plans go back. Who knew? Is there one that knows? I mean, Esther's the queen. And if Esther's the queen, she can save the people. Who knew that Esther would be the queen? Nobody would have predicted that. Who knew that Esther, as the queen, would save the Jews? Who knew? Who knew, not only that Haman would hang on the gallows that he built for Mordecai? Who knew? Mordecai asked a very, very good question. Who knows? Does anyone know? Is it possible for somebody to know? Who knew that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the song, the choir say, hey, kings are born in palaces. Who knew that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would be born in the days of Herod the king? One of the most wicked kings that ever lived. Who would have all the little boys under 2 years old slaughtered. Who knew? Who would possibly know that? Who knew in the late 1930s that Hitler, a man named Adolf Hitler, a Nazi, who knew that he would invade Poland, thus starting World War II? Who knew that the Japanese would come up with a plan so diabolical that they would attack the United States of America at Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941? Who knew that? Was it just bad luck? Was it just a circumstance? It just happened. Who knew that it would draw the United States into World War II, and thus it would inspire a small group of Christian people in Adrian, Michigan, to go all out during these troublous times. Who knew? Who knew? Who knew your trial? Who knew your problem that you would face today? Who knew what you were going to face last week? Who knew? Who knew that Brittany would wake up one morning and not be able to see out of the right side of her eyes? Who knew? Who knew that Brother Nixon would have a heart attack the start of the school year? Who knew that? I'll be honest, I couldn't have predicted that. I couldn't have figured out these things. I couldn't have. There's no way I could have gotten any of this. Certainly, I could have searched the scriptures, but who knew? Who knew this economy would be what it is? Who knew that some of you would lose your jobs? Who knew that your job would be at risk right now? Who knew? You said 20 years ago, well, I've got the greatest job in the world, and you did, and you had no idea that you'd be where you are right now. Mordecai asks a very good question. Who knoweth? Who knoweth? Who knew that a young man would go into an elementary school and kill little children? We can't. There's no way we could, our minds can't even fathom that. We're still trying to figure out how in the world can these kinds of things happen. Who knew 50 years ago that Islam would be the threat that it is to us? Who knew? Who knew? Who knew that our freedoms would be threatened like they are? I ask you, who knoweth? Who knew? And Friday, they say, the world's coming to an end because of the Mayan calendar. Of course, we know that can't happen. I'll tell you what, the one who knew all that was going to take place is the same one who knows what's going to happen in 2013. He's the same one who knows what you're going to face in February of 2013. He knows about the taxes due in 2013. He knows about the illness that your body already has, but you don't even know about it yet. He knows. He knows. Hey, Mordecai, you're asking a real good question to Esther. Who knoweth, Esther? Oh, there is one who knows. Because God knows, and God has it all under control. He had all that. Who knew that terrorists would somehow get into the United States of America and knock down the Twin Towers of New York City? We all just were shocked. We watched on TV and we could not believe. But oh, there was one who knew. There was one who knew. And there's also one who had it all under control. And he still has it all under control. Don't turn there, but in John chapter 6, we have the story of the feeding of the 5,000. 5,000 men, which means 15,000 to 20,000 people. And I love it because the disciples all come to Jesus and say, these people are hungry. And if they're going to, you know, they were feeding people so they could hear preaching years ago before we started giving bus kids candy. Amen. Amen. And they're saying, hey, these people are hungry. I can hear their guts growling all around here. I mean, we got to feed them something. And you know, the Bible says in verse 6 about Jesus, for he himself knew what he would do. Nothing catches God off guard. Why? Because his planning started before this earth was ever created. His planning started before the universe and the stars we look at were ever put in the sky. Now, his planning started before the sun ever had a flame. His planning started, and he knows. And he knows every detail about each and every one of us. And he knows what you're facing now. And he knows what you'll face next week. And he knows what you'll face next year. And he knows why. Because the plan. The plan. Number two, we see the person. And Mordecai not only asks, who knoweth, but he says this to Esther. He says, who knoweth whether thou, thou, Esther. He personalizes this, thou, Esther. This is you I'm talking to. We're not talking about, here the Jews are all about to be massacred. Here the law has been made and there is nothing that Mordecai can do. He goes to Esther. He's not talking about a great warrior to save the people. He's not talking about an angel of God to save the people. He's not even talking about a miracle from God himself, an earthquake, a volcano, a tornado, something. What are you going to do? No, it's thou. It's a human. Don't you ever marvel that God uses us? I mean, to me, that is one of the most amazing things. It's, hey, Esther, it's you, thou. And God uses people. God uses any people. God uses all people. Okay, who's he use? Look at Mordecai here. Chapter 2, verse 5. Look at Mordecai. Chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says, now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. What are your roots, Mordecai? Well, my family was taken into captivity. That's my roots. Wait a minute, you're a captive? You were a captive slave? You were taken captive? You mean you don't have a royal heritage? You don't know. I'm just a poor Jew. That's all. And I'm a result of the captivity. Wow. You know, this isn't a hero here. This isn't a big shot here. How about Esther? Chapter 2, verse 7. Here's Esther. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. She's an orphan girl. She had neither father nor mother. The maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Wait a minute, here's a girl who came from her father and her mother. A legend says her father died before she was born, and while her mother was pregnant, and her mother died shortly after. I mean, here's a woman. She's an orphan. She grew up as an orphan girl. And so again, we don't see any heroism in here. We don't see somebody that just stands out as this great, great person to do great things. And yet that's Esther. And yet Mordecai said, thou, Esther, this is about you. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? Thou, Esther. Wow. And of course, the Jews here are God's people. You know, Christmas story is very much like this. You understand? Mary. Regardless of what Catholicism says, Mary is not deity. Mary called Jesus her Savior and her Lord. She's a common, godly young lady. Virgin, godly young lady. Don't see many of them around today. But she was. But she's not deity. She's not royalty. She's Mary, a common lady. Joseph is a carpenter. Builds things. Not a wealthy person, just a carpenter. And in the Christmas story, we also see the shepherds. Brother Williams talked about that a couple weeks ago, and I love the way he talks about it. But shepherds are just lowly people. And that's the Christmas story. And wow, I mean, we're celebrating. I understand most of the world doesn't care about the Christ in Christmas. That's why they X'd him out. But we celebrate, and it's Mary, and it's Joseph, and it's a bunch of shepherds. And they're just common folks. You say, what can I do? Put your name in there. Who knoweth whether thou, all over this room, thou, you. Yeah, we're always looking for an angel to do great things. We want to see God do a great miracle. If you read your Bible, you'll find God uses people. He's always used people. O.E. Mott. And I'm not talking about Mott's applesauce. O.E. Mott. Owned property right over here where the Gospel Tabernacle sat. People came to hear preaching. It wasn't a church. He didn't want it to be a church. It was just the Gospel Tabernacle. Most of you don't know that name. Some do because we've been talking about history. It's the only reason I know that name is because I've been looking at history. He owned the Gospel Tabernacle. Preacher Yaxley. I guess he had a first name. What was his first name?
Thurlow.
That's why he goes by Preacher Yaxley. No. Preacher Yaxley. Yaxley. Preached at the Tabernacle. Let's see. Is he a famous? No. Preacher. He preached the word. Harold and Bessie Bennett. Harold, before he got saved, was a drunk. He was a rough guy. This was Donna's dad, Clark and Donna. Not a big shot. Not somebody famous. He's like you sitting here today. He sat in his home and he watched his dad die. And saw a preacher love his dad, and saw his dad love his God as he went to heaven. And God used that in his heart, because he's just a guy just like us who needed Jesus. I'm just saying, thou. You may feel insignificant this morning, but I promise you none of these that I've named their names felt like they were important. None of them. Preacher Yaxley? Hey, do you understand Preacher Yaxley? Do you understand a little bit what heaven's going to be like? Because he's going to get to stand and watch the thousands of people. Okay, this little group that we just saw, that's just a small portion of the influence of Thurlow Yaxley. Just a little bit. You know, he didn't have maybe the big crowds here. But when he gets to heaven, wow. Do you understand? Every missionary we ever supported and every soul they won to Christ. And then every missionary that came from them and won souls to Christ. Preacher Yaxley is going to have a good time. Thou, though, that's the question. None of these felt like they were important. Yet when God uses people, we see his timing in using the people, and it's always perfect. Why? Because who knoweth? He knows. Whether thou, you, me, why am I here? Why are you here? Why are we alive? Because there's a time for us, and God has a purpose for our lives. And the third thing is the place, the plan, the person. Number three is the place. And the question by Mordecai still rings in my ears. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? Come to the kingdom. Mordecai's there because of the captivity. How'd you get here, Mordecai? Well, because of the captivity. That's how I got here. Well, that's not a very good circumstance, is it? That's not a very positive thing, is it? But I'm here. Esther, how'd you get here? Esther's a Jew and she's an orphan girl, but she's the queen. How'd you get there, Esther? Oh, you go back in the book of Esther and you read the story about the first queen of Ahasuerus or Xerxes, whichever you want to call him. And her name was Vashti. And the king, in a drunken stupor, wanted to show her off, probably naked, in front of a party, and wanted to show off her beauty, and she refused. And he removed her as the queen. Well, that's not fair. That's not right. Wait a minute. Whoa. But Esther had to be the queen. Vashti did right. And she was hurt for it. The circumstances certainly were harsh circumstances to be removed. But there's a time, and he has a purpose, and Esther has to be the queen. You say, I don't like all the circumstances. Well, I understand. We many times don't like circumstances. Have you ever considered World War II might have taken place so Berean Baptist Church could start? Oh, no way. I don't know. I just know my God can do anything. And our God uses everything. How do you want to see the Red Sea part? Well, you're going to have to get cornered by the Egyptians first. You want to see the plagues come to the Egyptians? You're going to have to be their slaves first. Amen. I'm just saying, Esther is queen because of very harsh circumstances in the life of a young lady named Vashti. And it is certainly not likely at all that Esther is ever going to be the queen of the Medes and the Persians. Wait a minute, though. The birth of Jesus is just like that. How do we get Joseph and Mary? Oh, wait, Joseph and Mary. Oh, boy, you know, one of the stories we never want to talk about with Joseph and Mary is they're engaged. They're espoused to one another. I mean, they've had the ceremony. They just haven't had the physical relationship. And now Mary's pregnant. And boy, did Facebook light up. Who in the world would even talk to Joseph and Mary? You talk about a scandal? And yet Joseph knew. He knew that Mary was pure. How in the world are we going to get him to Bethlehem? Oh, a terrible thing called taxes. Praise the Lord for taxes! No. We don't ever do that. Never, do we? No, instead we get all bent out of shape and upset. But why is Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem? Because of taxes. But wait a minute, there was a time, right? And the Bible says in Galatians, it's when the fullness of the time was come. God sent forth his son, and God had to get them to Bethlehem. So he used taxes. And there goes Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. So Jesus could be born in the nicest hospital in Bethlehem that they've ever known. No, so he could be born where he had to be born, where lambs are born, because he's a lamb, because he's our sacrifice. But all I'm saying is, timing is everything. And timing is God's plan. And it all worked so that Jesus was born. By the way, the innkeeper, we get all upset with the innkeeper, and yet the no room was going to take place no matter what the innkeeper said. Why? Because his plan. You get all bent out of shape over stuff that you ought not get bent out of shape over. You know what's such a blessing to me? And I hate to point, because there's so many people we could say positive things about. But yesterday when we had the senior citizens downstairs and we're eating and fellowship, and they had the cantata, and the little children's choir came out and they sang, boy, they sing loud. What a blessing. That was so good. And I looked to my right and there was Brittany leading them. And I thought, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Mark Letson came out and he preached as the preacher, and I knew he was in pain, and you could tell his voice was even in, he was having some trouble there, and I thought, and who knoweth? Well, what is this service doing today? What is happening to one of those little elderly people there that don't necessarily always come to our church? But they heard the gospel. They heard how Jesus Christ loves them and died on the cross to pay for their sin. And I thought, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? It's a place. Hey, Esther, how'd you happen to come here? World War II affected everyone in the 30s and 40s. It affected everyone in the United States every day. We can't imagine this because we've seen the war on terror and just a little glimpse, and some of us remember Vietnam and a little glimpse, but I'm talking about people who, number one, were in the midst of a depression that makes our economy look like it's really good. They were in a depression that was terrible. And every day they heard about somebody they knew or loved who was killed or missing in action. But the people united. Wait a minute. Isn't that what we saw after 9/11? Sure we did. We were in shock. It's like, how can this happen? And we turned to each other and we united. And the people united and they started rationing and they started working together. And all of that took place. But then over here, right over here at Mackenzie and Maumee, back in the corner there at the Gospel Tabernacle, God started working in the hearts of people. That's what I'm saying. Timing's everything. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Why was Thurlow Yaxley here? Wait a minute. Charles Pearson is in Henrietta, Oklahoma. And Harold Bennett, with his daughter, is here in Adrian, Michigan. What is that? Oh, a job. Why do I have to move? Why? Oh, you know, we just can't. But wait a minute. You don't have any choice. Because timing. Because God puts things together. It's not a coincidence, folks. No, it's taking the right steps. That's why our steps are important today. That's why the place is important. It's why Harold and Bessie knocked on the door of Charles and Ruby Pearson out soul winning so they could hear about Berean Baptist Church and so they could bring their sons to Berean Baptist Church so their son Charles could marry Donna. And so what we just saw a little while ago could take place. And any one step that gets out of place, it messes everything up because timing is everything. Let me give you the last point, and that's very simple. Number one is the plan. Number two, the person. Number three, the place. And number four is the purpose. What's the purpose for such a time as this? It's the time for such a time as this. It's our text. Haman has made a law, chapter 3 and verse 8. Let's read it real quick. Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. Their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. That was the first gossip on Facebook, by the way. That was the first one. And the king didn't search it out and find out the truth. Truth is important, folks. What everything he just said here, that was a lie about the Jews. It wasn't true. And the king should have searched it out and found out that it wasn't true. By the way, he does find out later. Why? Because God reveals it. It's just too bad it had to be later. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasuries. The king took his ring from his hand, gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, and the Agagite, and the Jews' enemy. And he sealed the deal, and the law is made that the Jews be destroyed. Why? Because he talked bad about the Jews. These are bad people. These people don't keep your law, king. These are wicked people. By the way, that's what's going to happen during the tribulation in the persecution of Christians. And I'm saying that's what happens today in the persecution of people all the time because folks will believe garbage. And so Haman has this, he hated Mordecai so much and he built a gallows to hang him once the king said, this is the law. But you know, it's a simple thing for God. Chapter 6, verse 1, look at it. The king now, the law has been made. Haman is building the gallows. It says in chapter 5 and verse 14, the last verse, Haman, he caused the gallows to be made. Haman thinks everything's going great. He's having a good time. But in chapter 6 and verse 1, we see God. He says the timing now is everything's going just great. Wait a minute. The Jews didn't think it was going great, did they? No, there's a law made. They're all going to die. Esther didn't think things were going great. No, she's got to go face the king. Well, she did. And but everybody, you know, it doesn't look great. But it is great. Why? Because chapter 6, verse 1, on that night, could not the king sleep. Wait, who do you think kept him awake? Huh? And the king, he said, and God smacks him. Wake up! Wake up! And what's he do? He commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. Yeah, what's he doing? He wants to, all of a sudden, what inspires him to read the records of the Chronicles? And they were read. And he found out that Mordecai saved his life. Boy, that was lucky. Uh-huh. Again, things did not look good to the Jews, but they're really looking good to God's plan. And you may think things don't look so good in your life, but God's plan That's the key thing right there. Huh? Amen. And it turns out the king says, wow, this guy Mordecai, he's a great guy. What a great guy. We need to honor him. And he calls Haman in and he says, Haman, I want to honor somebody. And Haman says, gotta be me. Gotta be me. Who would the king honor if it's not me? And he's just so proud. His gallows are being built. He's going to have Mordecai killed. And the king says, we're going to honor. What do you think we ought to do? And Haman tells him what to do because he thinks it's him. Oh, he's so excited. And the king says, do that to Mordecai. And Haman cannot believe it. But you know what? That was the purpose God had. Had it all figured out. And then Esther comes, and Haman finds out Esther's a Jew. And guess who hangs on Mordecai's gallows? Haman. And guess who lives in Haman's house? Mordecai. And guess who gets promoted? Mordecai. I love it. But here's the thing, and I'm just about done. Did God use Haman's wickedness to promote Mordecai? Chapter 10, the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land, upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him. Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Medes and of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus and great among the Jews. How in the world does that even happen? Well, there's only one way, and that is God's plan for a person and putting it together in the place so that God's purpose is accomplished. That's why Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. I don't care how bad it looks. Don't care how we perceive it. All things, God promises, work together for good. That's why Jesus, it was when the fullness of the time was come. Why would he be born in the days of Herod? I mean, Herod could have him killed. He's going to kill all the two-year-old boys. Yeah, but God's God. Yeah, they were wicked days. World War II was a wicked time. Pearl Harbor attack was a terrible thing. Daily, everybody's hearing news of death, and men's hearts are grieving over the loss and the fear that they might be next, and it's depression. And by the way, the death of a man's father, Harold Bennett, as he watched his father, Win Bennett, go to be with the Lord. But it changed his life. What is your such a time? Today. Now. The Bible says before Jesus comes again, it'll be like the days of Noah. You know what kind of days those were? They were wicked. They were evil. They were hard. They were days just like we faced the other day when we saw that somebody went into one of our elementary schools and killed children. They were days like we faced when the Twin Towers went down, days like we read about and over and over and over, and they were days like that. But we want Jesus to return. We just don't want those days. We want a miracle in our lives. We just don't want to have to need a miracle. We want God to take care of our problems. We just don't want the problems. We want to see the Red Sea part. We don't want the Egyptians chasing us. And the fact of the matter is, God's purpose is whatever time is our such a time. Because God's got a purpose for every one of us. Thou. It's a person. A person. Esther, who are you? I don't know how, but I became the queen. Have no idea. I'm not a Mede. I'm not a Persian. I'm a Jew. I became the queen. And God used me. God can use you too, and he wants to use you. Such a time as this.